Me and my photographer, we got to know each other very well.
Yeah, hello.
You know, it was like they we slept best in the friends. Car. Yeah.
Yeah.
We slept in the car for multiple days eating granola and ramen noodles. And people, I think, they don't see that often.
No.
And so they see a different. And so whenever I'm often a mentor for young aspiring journalists. And I'm like, if you're just doing this just because you want to see yourself on TV.
Not going to work.
This is not for you.
Yeah, you're not going to laugh.
It's really not for you.
That was Lindsay Davis. She is not only a journalist who interviews heads of states, she's a mother, she is a wife, she's also a New York Times bestselling author. Welcome her to Naked, everyone.
It's the greatest in sports and entertainment, Connected with.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked, work.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Naked. So glad that you are all here hanging out with us. Like I said, I appreciate you being faithful. We are wrapping up season 3. That's insane. I can't believe it's been 3 full seasons. Our guest today has written a book. It's a New York Times bestseller, Girls of the World, Doing More Than Ever. This is her 6th book, but I would say that this is arguably her passion job. You may know her as an ABC News anchor. Lindsay Davis is on the podcast today. And the beautiful thing, at least for me, is that when I get an opportunity to interview people who ask questions for a living, it makes me feel comfortable because I know they're always going to have something to say, or they're going to play big, meaning they're going to tell me really great stories or give me a different nuance and perspective. And that's what Lindsay has done. I think it's increasingly difficult to remain neutral in today's society. And she's able to do that night in and night out as an ABC News anchor. And just for fun, sidekicks, giggles, you name it, she runs half marathons. Her goal is to run a half marathon in every single state. I was like, have at that, in between doing all the jobs and being a mother and being all of the things that you need to be in today's society. Sit back, relax. Maybe pull out a pen and paper, enjoy this conversation because she is giving us a lesson. Enjoy. Hey, everybody, I'm so excited. When I get to do in-studio interviews, and more importantly, when I get an opportunity to meet people who live in the world in which I do, I mean, thrive in this space called media, it's a wonder to meet you and how you do it all. So, Lindsay Davis, thank you so much for being naked or being on Naked,
rather. Well, that was the thing. I didn't know the appropriate attire. Yeah. I was thinking like, oh, okay, getting down like that. Okay, but no, I'm so thrilled to be with you.
I have... We have so many mutual people that we work with and know. Right. And so I have been able to watch your work and just think what grace, what class, what dignity.
Oh, thank you.
And it's really it's an honor for me to have this conversation with you because I always think to myself, there's there's something in us, I think, when we're young that decides what we want to be in life, whether we realize it or not.
Right.
And I'm curious, did you always know this would be the destination in terms of I want to be a broadcast journalist? I want to be a reporter covering.
I did not know that. Now, my family would tell you, and I do vividly remember gathering in my maternal grandmother's house, or grandparents' house, and I would gather my family around, aunts, uncles, cousins, parents, sister, and I would entertain them. Mm-hmm. So I would say like, ha, 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 excuse me, just a joke. Like I would just do these little riffs. Mm-hmm. And I also, I would dance like Michael Jackson. I was like a performer for people. But I didn't know it was going to be news until fast forward until I was maybe 21 and did just kind of have this aha moment where I had had a Spanish exchange student in high school. I was going to visit her while I was studying abroad, my third year of college. And it was the first time that I was able to just take whatever classes I wanted. I didn't have the core curriculum that I had to fulfill in order to graduate. And I was sitting in her apartment by myself watching the Las Noticias, and I should have understood, but really in the moment, it was kind of like Charlie Brown's mom, like, wah, 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 wah. And I just said, I want to do that. And I never looked back. I just, once I got back to the United States, I started just seeing, because I hadn't done any internships at that point. And at that time, and you might remember, in order to get an internship, you had to do it in exchange for college credit. It's
correct.
No longer like that.
Correct.
Fortunately for the students of today. But so then I went to NYU and got a graduate degree, master's degree, just to get an internship.
Oh, wow.
Because I had kind of decided so late that this is what I wanted to do. But there was just that epiphany, that revelation where I decided I want to do this.
When you say you decided so late, did it feel late to you because you were still a senior in college or just, you know, you just graduated? Does that feel late to
you now? I have been, and there must be some like label or diagnosis for me, Carrie, I'm sure, because I am very like, you know, milestone, benchmark, next step, next move. What are we doing?
Interesting.
And so I did feel, I would say, when I was in my first year of college, and I can't remember, I think it was the first year, second semester, I went to University of Virginia, and I believe you had to declare your major at that point.
Yeah.
And I did have a little anxiety of like, I don't know what I want to be. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like many of my other classmates at the time knew. Mm-hmm. Like they were very clear, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an engineer. That's I'm so going to be a nurse. And so I really wasn't sure. And so I actually was a psychology major, and I did graduate with a psychology major, which I think totally is appropriate for what we do.
100%.
And I thought I wanted to be a psychologist.
Ooh.
I think that I talk to people about their life stories.
Yeah.
Every day. That's
you do
still
it in
what
a way.
I do, right?
You do it in a way.
Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is, two different weddings. People approached me, one of them, because I, in both scenarios, I gave the toast.
Okay.
One of them was my very good friend throughout middle school and high school. Unbeknownst to me, somebody approaches me. He was like, you know, I own a bunch of news stations in Maryland. I think you'd be a great journalist.
Wow.
You have a great voice. You're a great storyteller.
Wow.
And the time I was like, oh, yeah, okay. But it's funny how that came back. Right. And at my sister's wedding, I had given a toast as well. And it wasn't anyone in the industry, but it was like people who were saying, you've got to do something with your voice. You've got to be in front of the public. And again, and that was maybe, you know, 3 or 4 years apart. And I just didn't really think about it. But it always would come back to me when I really ended up sitting in front of a camera or with a microphone on.
Yeah, it's interesting how life gives you the direction. And sometimes either you feel it, you see it, and then you're like, oh, it all makes sense now. This was all what I was supposed to do. I think that a path that isn't so laid out always leads us to where we're supposed to be. And when you first got into this business and you had the ability to tell stories and maybe even be a therapist, right? Mm-hmm. Because that is essentially what happens so many times. When was the moment in your career? Was it early on or did it take a while for you're like, I'm meant to do this? Mm. There's always just this moment. For me, I was my very first job, I was a one-man band. I was working in West Virginia. And I was like, oh, I'm meant to do this because I still love this.
Yes.
Like, I'm sweating. I don't even know what's going on, but I'm getting to the point that I can tell stories. And I love to tell stories.
There have been different moments in my life where I felt like, wow, this fits me perfectly.
Mm.
But I would say then I'll go through different phases where, you know, and it's kind of where I was when I started writing back in 2018 when I published my first children's book, where I had felt like maybe I've hit a ceiling. Maybe this is all there is.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where it did just get routine. And like, I wasn't telling meaningful stories that mattered, like the big J stuff that I really got into this for. It was more just like, okay, got to do this for Good Morning America. Got to do this for World News. Got to do this for Nightline. You're just churning with very just quick turnaround and not a lot of change that you feel like you're impacting on the world. And I just happened to be having this conversation with a colleague of mine a week ago because we did a piece on the LA County Juvenile Detention Center. And I went to LA for 2 weeks, really, you know, different months, different time periods, and sat and interviewed these now women who were girls decades ago in the juvenile detention center for doing things like, you know, skipping school, you know, and then they ended up being molested, abused, raped. And turns out there are nearly 3,000 complainants in this class action suit.
Wow.
And it's still happening today. You know, one of the days that we went to interview the head of the detention facility, they canceled, but because there was an arrest that day of a probation officer who had been having sex with one of the kids. And so those are the stories and then that actually fill me, that I find so fulfilling.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a lot of times people will think it's the like celebrities and the flash, you know, of like the red carpet. And for me, I mean, everything is satisfying in a different way. And so that's why, to answer your original question, I feel it at different points where I remember why I got into it, you know, but it's not always for the glitz and glam that people think it is.
I don't even think, can I be honest with you? I think we oftentimes have great assignments and we get to travel to great places and we get to experience history in real time. But the glamour of it, I miss because the churn and the burn and the extended hours, no one can really relate to it if you haven't done it because they're like, you're on the T and the V. But it's still a grind.
I mean, I remember I was working in Indianapolis at the time, but we went to cover Hurricane Katrina. No hotels, no electricity, no food. I mean, I was just me and my photographer. We got to know each other very well.
Yeah, hello.
You know, it was like
they
we
become
slept
your best
in the
friends.
Car. Yeah.
Yeah.
We slept in the car for multiple days eating granola and ramen noodles. And people, I think, they don't see that often.
No.
And so they see a different. And so whenever I'm often a mentor for young aspiring journalists. And I'm like, if you're just doing this just because you want to see yourself on TV,
not going to work.
This is not for you.
Yeah, you're not going to last.
It's really not for you.
No matter how glamorous you think I look, this is not going to be what it is.
Right.
Today's media, I have this conversation a lot. In the world of sports, there are so many people, and even also in just journalism in general, but there are so many people who have these platforms who can create their own brand of television if they will, whether it be the Pivot podcast or the I Am Athlete. I'm thinking of all these very, all the smoke in my world for sports. There are all of these athletes who've now decided, you know, instead of going to work for the traditional network, I'm going to take my money, my resources, and invest in my own channel because digital is it.
We are seeing that so often.
So new media is interesting to me because that's what they're calling it. Do you see the same in your space?
Oh, yes.
And what does that look like to you as a quote unquote traditional journalist who grew up differently?
Well, I'm reminded of like Murrow when, you know, he was this big radio guy, right? And when radio was first kind of not switching over to TV, but TV was becoming the new medium at that time,
sure.
The new media. And Murrow famously was reluctant, hesitant to leave radio.
Yeah.
Like, what? TV, you know? Yeah. And there was this kind of fear of the change, of the unknown. And I really relate to that time then now.
Yeah.
As we're talking about streaming versus traditional TV or cable news. And one thing I love because it's like, you know, I anchor World News Tonight on Sunday, which is a 30-minute newscast, but by the time you have commercials, it's really like 22 minutes.
Correct.
And this is world news. Mm-hmm. So how are you supposed to fit all of that into 22 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, all the things that you need to know with the nuance mm-hmm. and the context and give it the appropriate analysis, space and time. And those are the things that you have that luxury with streaming. We can have a piece
all day
that, yeah, it doesn't matter. And so you can really take that deep dive. You can go down those rabbit holes. You can give people a greater understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And really just get in depth. And so I really like that. And so I think that there's something for everybody, right? The people who just want the quick, you know, just want the 22 minutes, or if you really want an hour and a half worth of news. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about where I am right now is I'm kind of straddling a bunch of different boxes. So I do a radio, 2-minute broadcast, at 5 o'clock every day. Then I do world news on Sundays. And then I do ABC News Live Prime, during the week. In streaming space. And so I really am, I think, trying to tick off all the boxes. So like, if you want this kind of news, we got this kind of, if you want this, if you want that, you know, we've got it. And that is exciting to be really bridging the present, because it's not the past at this point, but the present with the future, maybe. We'll call
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Because I do think that we are really on this precipice of how people are, you know, clearly you just don't have families gathering in front of the TV set for their evening broadcast anymore, right?
To do that.
Yes.
It's impossible to do that in today's age. What you were saying to me is that you have a diverse portfolio when it comes to your work, because I think that's what we all have. We all have our, whether it's a podcast, a radio
right.
show, streaming,
yes.
and then TV.
Yes.
TV
yeah.
to me has now become, and okay, I'll do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just what it is.
Yes.
You're streaming for ABC News Live, right? And
yes.
so then you have the Sunday show, and then you say you have radio. There are just, that's just what it is. So it's becoming a melting pot, but it warms my heart to hear you say, because I didn't know that Merle didn't like radio. I mean,
yes.
that he didn't want to leave radio
right.
for TV.
Right.
And it's like, oh, this is where we are.
Right.
This is where we are right now in this
yes.
moment. And people are straddling. Like, I have friends who are like, oh, but I want to be on a TV show. I'm like, no one's watching TV. Everyone's watching your phone. Unless you're watching a live event in the world of sports. That's
yes.
how you get people to pay attention.
Or I will say also, when COVID first happened,
yes.
we had record numbers.
Yeah.
The viewership because, and it's interesting, when I went to get my master's degree only to get my internship,
yeah.
one of my professors said, people tune into news to know, is my world safe?
That's it.
And in that moment, that may have been the first time in my lifetime when there was a question, is my world safe?
That is so true. Well, 9/11, were you?
9/11, but I do think that that was a pocket of the country, right?
That was
primarily in Pennsylvania
world.
And New York City
yeah.
and Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you're right.
And
you're right.
People may have felt fear, concern for a day or two, like, oh, could it happen here? But for the most part, it was a day in a concentrated part of the country.
Yep.
And people in Kansas and California and Texas didn't have to worry. Uh-huh. Where with COVID, the whole world was like, well, how long do we have to live potentially, you know, for those first few months, I would say at least.
I 100% agree. You're absolutely right. Now that you think of that, it was the entire world. We were all globally in this together.
Yes.
We all were shut down. We did not know, and you're right, record numbers. What does it look like? What does it feel like?
Yes.
How will it affect my family?
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with me.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with me.
What I get sometimes, especially as a Black woman in this space, when we present, like, I think COVID did this for a lot of people. It removed the veil of what we thought was in our country.
Mm.
And there were things that we learned, they just weren't true. Things that we had been taught since we were in elementary school and on a very primary level. And oftentimes, and this we're talking about this nuance and where we are today, oftentimes when you try to say, well, no, here is a fact that I do know is a fact, it feels as if someone says, like, you're just being pro-Black and you're anti-American. And you're like, right. No, this is a fact.
Yes, right.
This is back to just presenting the facts. This is a fact. This did not happen according to what our history book says. That's just not accurate.
Right.
And so now what I am hearing, everyone does have an opinion. But it makes it so, like, to the nuance of it all, it makes it so incredibly tough to remain neutral and try to share just the facts. So I think you saying that to me, or just someone who's listening, I have tons of mentees who listen, it's just wise. Let's keep the main thing, if you will.
And I think what I'm able to bring, which, and I'm reminded of, I love this quote from Shirley Chisholm, who said, if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair, yeah, right? And I think that being able to have that seat at the table allows us to have conversations that people hadn't thought about. So it's not my opinion, but I'm able to expose,
correct,
a new way of looking, mm-hmm, at something, that's right? Good, and so, good. For example, during COVID and during the uprising during George Floyd aftermath, I said, you know, why don't we have a conversation with, at the time, we had all these Black women who were heading up major cities. So at the time, it was like Keisha Lance Bottoms, mm-hmm, in Atlanta. You had Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. You had San Francisco, Chicago. Yeah. We didn't have, yes, but she was, I think she was before COVID.
Oh, she was.
I think okay. She was before COVID.
Okay.
But we got them together. Everybody was virtual. So it was like, all right, let's just do this virtual roundtable and do this panel.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because the executive producer I was with at the time said, this was a great idea and we wouldn't have thought of it had we likely not had a Black woman being able to bring this suggestion.
There you go.
And so it's not like I'm giving my opinion.
Yeah, but
I'm just bringing in a new perspective.
With my folding chair.
With my folding chair.
Amen. Yes. I receive that. So also, you mentioned your books, and that's where you kind of bring in your faith. I didn't know, today years old, as the kids say, that you wrote 6 books. Mm-hmm. Where do you find the time? Where do you find the time between all of the jobs, the full life, running half, by the way, guys, half marathons. You've done 44
yes,
states.
Yes, so my husband and I are trying to run all 50 states, a half marathon in each state. And so, yes. We just finished our 44th. 6 more to go, Carrie. And those last 6 could not come soon enough. Yes. Where do I find this time? I believe that whatever you're passionate about, you will make room for.
Yeah.
And so there were a number of things that got me started with the idea of being interested in writing a children's book. But part of it was not seeing representation like I wanted to for my son as I was raising an African-American son and feeling like I had to be so deliberate. It was kind of like, aside from February where you'd have, you know, the 12 books on the center table for Black History Month, you know, typically I just wasn't finding books regularly that I wanted, not just with the characters, but with the message, with the inspiration that I wanted for my son. So I was like, okay, well, rather than complain about it, I actually consider myself to be a storyteller by day.
Yeah.
So why not try and expand in this way? And then another aspect was, I feel like the news is so heavy. You know, what I do, especially when my son was a little younger, he's 10 now, but a little younger, I would tell my husband, like, don't even let him watch the news, you know? And he wanted to see mommy on TV because I was gone. And so it was like this way that he could connect. But I felt like it was inappropriate. It was just too heavy, especially during, again, the George Floyd aftermath and the protests and just so much angst. And I felt like as a young Black male, he didn't need to have that albatross around his neck. I mean, because he was already asking, like in the wake of the, you know, Philadelphia Starbucks incident, when you had the 2 mm-hmm. Black men who were arrested mm-hmm. trying to use the bathroom without buying anything. And he had said, and he was maybe 4 or 5, and he was like, are the police going to take Daddy and me to jail if we go to Starbucks?
No.
You know, he was identifying, you know, as a Black male. And I was like, this is heavy. And I wanted to do something where I could share mommy's work, you know, just here you go. This is what I'm doing. And I don't have to be concerned that it's causing him harm in some way or stress.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do think that, first of all, writing children's books It's really kind of easy.
I was going to say, because you piled really up easy. Six. This latest one is a New York Times bestseller.
The last two. Yes. The last two. Yes. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations. That's really such a beautiful accomplishment.
I appreciate that.
And
thank
I know
you.
That when you're like an achiever and you do a lot of things, it's just one more thing I'm doing. But I hope you can sit in that. That's just a beautiful, beautiful achievement.
It's one thing that I want to do more is sitting in it. Yeah. In the moment, right? Because I am always like, okay, on to the next. Mm-hmm. Now what are we doing? And what's it, you know, and it, and then like when you don't actually savor it, I think that that is a lost opportunity. And I'm unfortunate because you just don't appreciate, you know, what has been accomplished. But I do feel blessed that people are reading the books. And, you know, there was an essay that I read years ago when I was first thinking about writing children's books. It was called Mirrors, Windows, and Sliding Glass Doors. It was talking about how the importance of children's books, first of all, if children don't see themselves in the pages, reflected in the pages, they won't look to books mm-hmm. anymore. And that's a problem, right? Because mm-hmm. we want children to read. Mm-hmm. But the idea was mirrors, because they need to see themselves reflected, mm-hmm. windows, so they can peer into a world that's unfamiliar to their own, and the sliding glass door, if that window is to really be transformative, it can serve as that sliding glass door to kind of bring them yeah. into this different world. And I think that that is, you know, going back to our other conversation about, you know, having those difficult talks about where we are different. I think that the same thing applies not just to religion or land or, you know, but race, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, many of the characters in my books initially were Black and brown. And I think that people thought, oh, they're Black and brown characters, therefore Black and brown children.
Uh-huh.
And I really don't think that that is the truth. I think that quite often we fear what we don't know. And so immediately we have boxes and divisions.
Yeah.
And, but if you can be exposed, and I think that quite often that may not be in your neighborhood, your church, your school, maybe it's not very diverse, but you can give a child a doll that's yeah. different, right? Yeah. You can put a book in their hand that's different. And so that is what I'm hoping to be able to do, is, you know, be a bridge and through the children's books that I'm doing, bring everybody into the tent. You know, in this latest book, Girls of the World, like, we're very intentional about making sure that different religions are represented.
Oh, really?
That kids with, you know, two of the girls are in wheelchairs, one has a prosthetic leg. It's like, when we talk about diversity, let's not just talk about black
skin
and white.
Color. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important. Important.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there.
Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected
with. Speaking of your book and making sure you're making, everyone is diverse. Characters are diverse, but we're not talking just skin color.
Yes.
Different needs, different accessibilities. When I watch programming like that, like a movie or maybe a series or a sitcom, I can't even think of one right now. But when it pops up, and it doesn't slap you in the face, and it feels just, it's natural, and this is the world, it makes you understand more. It was a show I watched. One of the kids had autism. The other, you know, was a racially diverse family, interracial marriage, all the things that were, and it wasn't forced. It felt very effortless.
Mm.
And to me, that is true diversity, and what you, it sounds like what you're trying to accomplish in your storytelling for children, because that's where you're planting the seeds.
And planting the seed is an expression that I use quite often with the books in a number of ways, in tolerance or acceptance, in loving. And the funny thing is, Carrie, that I think that kids already know.
Yep.
It's the adults who, right. You know, people always say like, you know, oh, kids are colorblind. I totally disagree with that. Kids see color, they just don't attach a value to it. It's the adults who do that.
Powerful.
And so quite often, I'm like, these messages that I'm putting out there, hopefully the parents who are reading the books to the kids are kind of picking something up, because the kids already know. Like, I always think about like my son when he was younger and going off to camp for the day, you know, meeting new people. He would never come home and say like, tell me about somebody's race or gender or religion. He would just say, oh my gosh, my new friend, mommy.
Yeah.
He loves Starbucks. He loves Star Wars just like I do. He loves Legos just like I do. Kids find the commonality and they go with it. Adults are more like, oh, but you're different and we don't associate and you believe and, you know, and that is what I think is so unfortunate. We just have to think like children. We have to get back to that kind of way of viewing the world.
And when he comes home and he tells you about someone he met, he's not telling you what color they are.
No. Never.
It's always just, here are the qualities.
Right.
And wow, that's so powerful. That's a thought that we just don't do. We immediately assign value and we put in a box. And
yes.
I see what you mean. And that means this, if you come from here.
Yes, exactly.
If you dress like that and you talk like that and you move like that, you've already decided who you are before we've even given you an opportunity. that's unfortunate. I'm really glad that you are here and you are a source of inspiration for me. And definitely, I approve of enlightenment for our children in society because we need that so much. I wonder, in your downtime, outside of running marathons all over the United States of America, her downtime, six books in, lots of work. I mean, what do you do to just say, nope, I'm doing nothing. This is my funny moment. Do you eat ramen and watch old Sex and the City shows? What do you do where you just completely veg out and it doesn't require to do?
So one thing, I have a really bad sweet tooth.
Oh, good.
And that's part of the reason why I run. I justify, like, I can eat this, and so therefore I can do this. But my ideal day, I'm in a robe all day.
Mm-hmm.
I watch movies with my son.
Yeah.
I might be taking a nap during part of that time. We're eating some, like, really good takeout food at home. And I don't leave the house all day. And I look a mess. I have no makeup done, no hair done. And I'm just in my happy place.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not on. You're not talking. You're not aware. Shoulders are right where they belong, not on your ears.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just enjoying yourself. That sounds like a lovely time. Is there anything that you're watching that I should binge or any past television shows? Because I'm in the process now. I didn't watch TV for, I can't even imagine. I watched news, I watched sports, I watched live events.
Got to watch sports all the time.
Yeah, imagine, there was no enjoying television. So I just finished Game of Thrones and I'm trying to have this conversation with people. They're like, you're about 10 years too late. I'm like, wait, Jon Snow. They're like, no, thank you. And then now I'm watching Homeland. Is there anything that you've watched in the past or present that you're like, this has been my go-to show that provides a bit of an escape?
You know, and I'm going to be the same way like that you are in that I'm late because I watched a series, maybe it was like seven actually episodes with Idris Elba, the Hostage.
Oh,
did you watch that?
You know,
it was
I
a
did.
While ago, right?
Yes.
But I just finally was able to kind of watch that.
It was, what was it called?
Was it called Hostage?
Jacquees, what was that? I'm asking my producer cut. What was that Idris Elba show called on Apple? It was a show on Apple TV. You guys, I don't remember. I know. I love that show.
I want to say it was called Hostage, but I totally might be wrong.
No, but I love it.
But I love. Oh, Hijack.
Yes, thank you. Thank
yes,
you.
I knew it started with an H.
Hijack.
Yes, Hijack. Yes. I love frivolous suspense thriller things that will take me away.
Uh-huh.
And it tends to be more that I read like novels that are like, you know, than binge a show, but. But that was one that I really, you know.
That was good.
I rarely have the time to be able to be like, next episode. That one, I was like, okay, I got to watch another one.
I have it. I have time now. No, yes. That was great. Sabrina, I know his wife, Sabrina. Sabrina, we love, she calls him our husband. We love our husband.
Oh, yes.
We love our husband.
Thank you for sharing him.
Thanks for sharing him with the world. Lindsay Davis, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I know you have lots to get to. I just want you to understand that I do this and I take extra special care of those who I see that live in the world that I do, but I've also admired along the way. Although we're peers, I still have so much admiration because I know what it takes to stay and sustain and to prosper and do your job and try to have a life. And so it's just always an honor to meet you doing it. And with so much grace, you were way like professional, guys. She got here like an hour before I did, and I'm coming in on the phone eating chips. No, I'm kidding, but I was like, oh my god, look, I love it.
I want to just, if I can, gush for a minute with some mutual admiration because I always think people say, like, oh, who are you most nervous to interview? When I do feel a little concerned, is when I'm interviewing someone who is an interviewer. And you are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
So it's interesting, like when people say, oh, you were great, whatever, you know, this felt like so comfortable. But now I know what people are looking at because that is what you gave me, was just that comfortability and that space. And you clearly did your homework. And so it was just like an honor to be able to sit across from you.
It's
so thank
mutual you. Admiration. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Lindsay Davis, go out and buy the book. She has six of them, y'all. Six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll list them all for you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So again, go out and support Lindsay. Is she not amazing? And just so well-versed in so many different issues. The book is called Girls of the World, Doing More Than Ever. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's her second bestseller, her sixth book. Check them all out. It's Lindsay Davis. Support her wherever you get your books, Amazon, in the bookshop, wherever you go. Go out and do that. Last but not least, I repeat, this is our very last episode of season 3. Season 4 is coming. We appreciate your support. Our hope is that we're bringing you stories that you've never had before and helping you understand more about different folks. Maybe we can do that. Get to that point where we can have the nuance. So much of what Lindsay and I discussed today was about that, the nuance in the stories. That's where we want to live. Again, thank you for supporting all of Naked, season 1, 2, and now 3. That is a wrap. Big shout out to my crew, Jacquees, Dwayne. Y'all hold it down. iHeart, Black Effect. We did this. See y'all.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.